Trade and Economic Development. Welcome. I am going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2622. And we have Representative Rob Patridge joining us today with this bill. Would you like to come forward?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm State Representative Rob Patridge, House District 6, which is the lovely city of Medford in Southern Oregon. I don't know if Kim Medford, your committee administrator, has any relationship to that, but nonetheless, I will try and build whatever goodwill I can with Ms. Medford.
That would be advisable.
Good. I bring you House Bill 2622, which is the e-commerce zone technical fix bill. We put out the bill last legislative session, which was Senate Bill 229. It needed some technical language fixes in order for the companies to be able to utilize that. That was an oversight that was picked up by OECD and various accountants and other tax-related people that we need to fix. We put in House Bill 2622 this session to move this rapidly along. I think Southern Oregon has gained the largest benefit as a result of the e-commerce zones. I think we're estimated to have 500-plus jobs that are potentially going to be created as a result of the investment. I believe that we provided Ms. Medford and your committee with copies of two letters, one from Bear Creek Corporation, which is the single largest employer in Southern Oregon and the single largest employer in my district. They employ about 3,000 people approximately year-round and during their peak season. Bear Creek Corporation has Harry and David, which is the pear company that you may receive pears and wonderful goodies during the Christmas season generally, as well as Jackson and Perkins Roses. They are located in Medford and consequently have benefited. They are making a very substantial investment in our local community. They're estimated, because of the fact that we were able to offer up the e-commerce zone and some other incentives that were available, they're planning a $100 million expansion locally over the course of the next 8 years, which will result in an additional 500 jobs in our local economy, as well as the fact that Regency Blue Cross Blue Shield located also a call center there locally, and there's a letter from them that has brought some additional jobs to our locale, and I think that's in Representative Richardson's district, the Blue Cross Blue Shield building. I used to be the general counsel for the company that they took over that building, so it kind of comes close to home. But House Bill 2622 has a subsequent referral to the Revenue Committee. I have talked with Lane Shetterly, the chair of the Revenue Committee, as well as the Speaker of the House, in regards to the revenue impacts of this particular bill. Those revenue impacts have already been embedded and included within the forecast, and many companies are invested as a result of what they believe the bill to do, and consequently, that's why this technical fix is needed, but it won't be any additional revenue impact upon our current, won't further complicate our current budget situation. So the Speaker and Revenue Chair are okay with just referring the bill to the floor because they're both aware of this fact, and your Chair we've talked about that as well. So I'd ask for your support for House Bill 2622. It has done some great things for my region of the state, and I think that makes Oregon more attractive for these types of clean growth kinds of companies.
Thank you, Representative Patrick. Any questions? Representative March?
For the record, are you still associated with Bear Creek, by the way?
I'm not associated with Bear Creek, never have been.
Oh,
I'm associated with
the other firm.
Oh, I was associated with the other firm.
Okay.
that bought the Blue Cross Blue Shield bought that building, the former firm I was associated with. There's no relationship.
That was right. Well,
6-8 years ago. So
I appreciate that. Thank you. I just want
for the record,
to
thank you.
Clear.
Yes.
Any other questions? Well, thank you, Representative Patridge.
Thank you.
We have Pat Allen, who would like to testify from the OECD. you'd like to come forward. And you brought company, I see.
Mm-hmm.
For the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Patrick Allen. I'm the Small Business and Emerging Technology Manager at the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. I've asked John Phillips from the Oregon Department of Revenue to join me so that we can kind of give you the both agencies' perspective on the problem that the bill takes care of and how it does that. I don't want to repeat materials that or information that Representative Patrick provided you. Just a bit of quick background, further background, though. The 1999 legislature created a body called the Oregon Internet Commission to advise the legislature and government generally about how to more effectively use the Internet in government and in commerce in the private sector in the state. Among other things, the Internet Commission recommended the creation of some kind of an electronic commerce enterprise program, something that particularly targeted beneficial tax or other treatment to electronic commerce businesses to help promote that sector in Oregon. In the 2001 legislature, through Senate Bill 229, at that time, created an e-commerce enterprise zone program designating specifically North Plains as an enterprise or as an electronic commerce community and then tasking us with designating four further communities. When it was originally introduced, the bill created a separate standalone e-commerce enterprise zone program with its own set of designation standards and administration and program operation. We recommended that it be merged into the existing enterprise zone program and simply added as an additional feature on that program, and that's really where the problem cropped up. Effectively, the merger of the two programs was a little bit too thorough. Without wanting to take a lot of time, if you'll bear with me for just a minute to kind of walk you through what happened. The existing enterprise zone program has a defined term of a qualified business. And to be a qualified business, you have to apply to the local county property tax assessor in a window between January 1st and April 30th of a given year to be designated as qualified. And that works great in the property tax system because it's for the property tax year beginning the following July 1st. To take advantage of an income tax credit, according to Senate Bill 229, you have to be a qualified firm. But to be able to get the credit, you have to spend the money in the tax year that you're taking it for. What that means is if you have a calendar tax year, which most firms in Oregon do, you have to spend the money by December 31st, but you can't apply to be qualified to get the credit until January 1st. So you end up with these non-overlapping time periods. If you happen to have a non-calendar fiscal year, you've got a window in there somewhere where you can do the two things together, and we have some firms that that will deal with that. In any event, our attorney at the Attorney General's office working with revenue and our departments together believe that the language that you have in front of you will take care of that problem, will create some new definitions and separate those definitions so that a firm can be designated as qualified for purposes of this program during the same year that they attempt to take the credit and be able to be addressed. Also, because firms that you've heard about, Bear Creek, Regents, Dell Computers, and Roseburg, and others have essentially made business investment decisions on a good faith assumption that this program was actually going to work, the bill also provides a retroactive feature to be able to take it, make it effective with January 1st of the 2002 tax year. With that, I'd turn it over to John for comments that he might like to make.
Good afternoon, Chair Smith, members of the committee. My name is John Phillips with the Department of Revenue. I'm just here to add support to Mr. Allen's comments and that our attorneys did discuss this and worked out the issues that were unclear in the bill, and we believe we'll be able to administer it at this point. Thank you.
So at this point, if there are any questions, we'd be happy to.
Are there any questions? Representative March?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two things for the gentleman from OECDD. I didn't catch your name, and if you would in the future put it on your testimony so we know who to go back and contact.
Yeah, I apologize for that. We ended up with the same substantive bill in two places at once, so we kind of had who was going to give which testimony where. I apologize for that. It's Patrick Allen, A-L-L-E-N.
Thank you. And the second part was for Mr. Phillips. It specifies that a non-resident can qualify for the income tax credit. Could you just kind of describe that for us? Is that like a out-of-state corporation or what?
Chair Smith, Representative March, I am in this committee because our expert is in the other committee testifying the other bill. And so I couldn't adequately answer that question, although I can promise to get back to you on that. I do not know.
Okay.
Representative March, would you like us to stand in recess until we can get that in?
Well, and there might be some other questions. I'll think about that.
Okay. Representative Pat?
Thank you. Pat, Dell Computer, they're in one of these zones, and their decision was made to site there based on that, on the zone, or...
Chair Smith, Representative Haas, yes. There are about a dozen firms today in total, including the three that we've mentioned, that have made siting decisions that ascribes some large portion of the siting decision to the availability of this benefit. I don't think anybody would argue that anybody cites entirely on the basis of an incentive. But the incentive becomes a large component in that siting decision, and that's what Dell has represented to us in the case of Roseburg. Now, they don't actually need this fix because they do have a non-calendar fiscal year, but they're an example of the kind of firm that is taking advantage of the program.
Okay, I can follow up.
Sure.
I was just curious about, these were, I think the idea behind that legislation was to try to spur development, not to allow people who are already there to say, well, if you make it available for us, we'll take it.
I see what you're saying. Chair Smith, Representative Haas, they made their investment decision subsequent to the availability of this investment, and it was a part of their investment decision. I just didn't want to overrepresent that it was the only reason that they picked Roseburg.
And their E-Trade, they're, from what I understand, a call center mostly.
I'm not intimately familiar, but my understanding is that is an order fulfillment and customer service facility in Roseburg. They have a number of different kinds of facilities at Dell.
I can just comment, Madam Chair. I was one of the sponsors of the e-commerce zone, I don't think the call center was exactly the kind of facilities that we were hoping to buy, really, with this enterprise zone. And so, we related really to the bill before us, but just the kind of comment just surprises me that the definitions allow a call center to come in under e-commerce.
Madam Chair, just in response, what Dell does is fulfill sales requests and calls that are generated as a result of their presence on the internet. That, from our perspective, that seems like e-commerce. Now, grant you that there are call centers and then there are call centers. Outbound cold calling sales and those sorts of things, we would probably agree are not the kinds of things that we would hope to incent with that either. On the other hand, in Douglas County, an employer that will start people at $8 or $9 an hour, moving them up to $12 or $13, providing full benefits, is not a bad employer, and their activity seems right at the core of electronic commerce from our perspective.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much. I would like an answer to Representative March's question. Is there any way if we recess for a few minutes,
yes,
you could go find out?
Chair Smith, I'd be happy to go and answer that question.
At recess for just a few minutes.
Thank you.
Could do that. Department of Revenue, if you'd like to come forward. Representative March had a question, and apparently you're the expert, so... For the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Department of Revenue. And I'm sorry, the question has to do with...
Why don't I let Representative Marsh just restate it, and then you can look at the bill.
And thank you for coming over. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, the other hearing.
I'd ask that this bill apparently changes the law and specifies that a non-resident can qualify for the income tax credit. And I was presuming that that might mean a non-resident corporation, or is there... Do you know any of the history on that?
Yeah. Madam Chair, Representative March, the language on page 2, line 21, in referencing chapter 316,
right.
That is just the individual income tax chapter. So although the credit is allowed to an individual or a corporation, the non-resident provision is just referring to an individual non-resident.
Okay. So, to clarify, if a resident of California owned the property but came and did the investment here, was paying tax as a non-resident, they could qualify under that section.
Madam Chair, Representative March, that's correct. And then they would be prorating that credit based on the percentage of Oregon income that they have.
Thank you very much.
You're very
that
welcome.
Clarifies.
Thank you. Any other questions from our expert? Thank you so much.
You're very
for
welcome.
Over.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome very much. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2622, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2622.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2622 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Revenue be rescinded.
Great. Representative Gagos has moved House Bill 2622 to the House floor with a due pass. And with the recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Revenue be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Linda, will you call the roll?
Representative
Mark? Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. So ordered. And Representative Patridge will be carrying the floor. Thank you. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2622. And I'll close the committee meeting, there being no other business in front of the committee.